Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, were they disrespectful of the souls laid to rest at the cemetery? Did something follow him home, or was it just someone who was extra paranoid?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, and 855-853-4802 is our phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can also subscribe and get access to all of our episodes ad-free. If you want to do that, Apple Podcasts, our premium channel there, patreon.com/realghoststories, or ghostpodcast.com to get in on all of that. It's Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. And let's jump right into our caller of the day and hear a ghost story. Hi.
Hey, this is Marcos Moreno. I can just tell y'all out today. And a lot of your podcasts are really good, and I feel like this would be a perfect time to talk about a story, or a few at least, that I've experienced. Name is Marcos Moreno, obviously, and 19. And when you're 19, you know, you get into trouble every now and then. Well, my first story actually takes place in a cemetery. You see, me and my friends, we'd always go and we'd smoke weed next to the cemetery. And we've done it 3 times. And every time that I've done it, something crazy has happened. The first time, we were next to the cemetery, and I even told my friend, I'm like, hey, this just doesn't feel right, you know? Like, we're doing drugs right next to where people died. You know, I felt like I was disrespecting it. You can take it how you want, but I feel like we were disrespecting them. And he told me, oh, sure, it'd be fine. So I just shook it off. Later on that night when I get home, it was just me. And it was about 1 or 2 in the morning, about. And then my Xbox and TV turned on all of a sudden with the controller. And obviously, I didn't think any of it. I just thought it was strange. The second time, we go smoke at the cemetery again, and I tell my friend about it. I'm like, hey, the Xbox turned on, the TV turned on. He's like, oh, don't worry about it, man. Well, that second time, right after we smoked at the cemetery again, the second time, we went straight to his house. And then we were talking, you know, having those little pipe dreams, and the car started shaking by itself. We didn't know what was wrong with it. And for about an hour, when we got out of the car, we came back, and the car was still shaking a little bit. And what happened, why it was shaking, was because the lock kept turning on and off. Like, it would lock in, lock out, lock in, lock out, lock in, lock out. And we literally had no clue, and it did that for a whole hour. Just lock in, lock out, lock in, lock out. We just concluded that maybe his car was a little messed up or something, until the third time we go smoke at the cemetery again. And this time, I'm by myself with my dog. Now, this time, I'm dummy high. I'm ridiculously high. And I thought I hear something in my house. I'm already at my house. I'm chilling out. And I thought I hear something at my house. Well, I just thought it was just me playing stupid. You know, I'm high. You know, I'm high. Don't worry about it, Margus. I thought I hear something. I shake it off. But I know I hear something because my dog heard it too. And it just came from the kitchen. So I could conclude it was like, mice or something. My dog is ready to pounce out. It's a little Yorkie poodle, tiny, tiny, tiny. She's in the position. She's ready to jump off, bark, and everything. But I'm calming her down. My dog is calm down, calm down. My dog named Vegas, calm down, calm down. I finally get her to settle down. And finally, something breaks. Something, a glass shatters in the middle of the kitchen. My dog jumps off the bed, starts barking everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. And I'm freaking out. because first of all, you know, I'm high, you know, obviously. And second time, you know, this is the third time something dumb like this happens. So I go off, I'm looking around, I see the busted plate on the bottom. And my dog is barking at the mirror. The mirror, we have a mirror next to our kitchen, and my dog is barking at the mirror. And after that day, we never smoked at the cemetery again, me and my best friend. Never, ever, ever. And it was just a really eye-opening thing for me. Because I've always believed in ghosts, but never really something that I would have personally experienced. But it's funny, there's a reason why I believe in ghosts, and it all starts off with this story. Like I said, I've never really experienced anything, but this one time when my grandpa died, we took a lot of his things after the funeral. It was just a lot of knickknacks and everything. But one thing was a little blue radio, you know, a little FM, AM radio. And yeah, it's just something, I guess it was just a boomer thing. But here's the thing, it didn't work. It never had any batteries in it. So, you know, if you were to work, you put batteries in, blah, blah, blah. Every night for years, and when I mean years, I mean it went on forever. We just kind of thought it was normal at this point. Really, really late, the radio would start making staticky noises. And I first noticed this after my grandpa died. After my grandpa died, I was like, Mom, why is it all staticky? It's all staticky. And it just got to the point where it was just the normal. And I believed, you know, I honestly do believe that my grandpa, you know, just didn't want to go to heaven or something. It was just weird because it went on for, like I said, years. And then it got to the point where my friends would start talking about it. And I wouldn't know what to tell them, you know, being 9, 10 years old. I can't tell him it's a ghost. I can't tell him it's my grandpa. I just kind of just say, I don't know, man. And to be honest, I kind of want to go smoke at the cemetery one more time to see if anything crazy would happen. Those are just a few crazy experiences I've had. The only experiences I've had, really. Never had anything else paranormal. However, it was just really eye-opener for me because I've never really told anybody this stuff, especially the radio thing. And it's just something I thought would be good for the show. So, you know, enjoy.
So I got to do. I got to get a Ouija board and I got to smoke some weed in a cemetery, and well, then I see what happens.
This guy wins the award for saying I was really high the most times ever in one podcast.
Yeah,
on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yeah,
but here's what's interesting. Like today, one of the things that paranormal investigators use when they go out and investigate are radios, basically transistor radios, mm-hmm. to a certain degree, and they use them as ghost boxes. They scan the frequencies to try and get some sort of communication with spirits or energies or ghosts or whatever. So maybe it's not that far off to think maybe his grandfather was trying to communicate some way, shape, or form through that little radio.
It very much lines up with what a lot of people use.
Yeah.
For being a way to do it. Yeah, it's interesting. I know you've had some success with that, at least, right? I mean, you've had some experiences where you think that some stuff kind of came through.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where it could be anything. It could be a radio signal, you know, coming up next kind of thing, whatever. Mm-hmm. But when you get responses that really tie into the questions you're asking, I'll give you a quick example. Literally a couple of weeks ago on another podcast, I did a spirit box session.
Yeah.
And I was trying to contact my dad.
Okay.
Right. And I, you know, one of the questions I asked was, Mom or Dad, are you here? And what came across on the radio was, I'm in the basement. Okay.
Okay.
Now, ironically, the studio that I do my work from is in the basement.
Okay.
So when I said, then I said, are you with me? And the response came across, yes. So could it have been some radio station somewhere talking about basements?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Is it ironic that I asked that question and I'm in the basement and that was the response? Also interesting.
So I've always been a little bit confused on this. And I've heard the question answered different ways, but I'm curious to get your take. Is it voice that's coming through that is not being broadcast by a radio station that you're not just happening to pick up at that moment in time that seems to make sense? Or is it kind of just the universe working well for you at that moment in time? And maybe these questions are being answered, you know, and it was already programming that was on this radio station, and it just happens to kind of time out with what you're doing. I mean, it's the same sort of thing where you get into a car after some sort of emotional event, and there's a specific song that's playing that really speaks to you. It was scheduled weeks ago by somebody. They had no idea they're doing it for you, but it just, the timing seemed to work out, kind of the universe working in its own way to comfort or to do whatever it's going to do with some sort of a message. What are your thoughts?
I think there's probably two levels of it. Like, I think what you're basically saying is like everything's planned out in your life, and it was planned before you turned on the radio that you were going to hear that song because somebody scheduled that. So I do believe a little bit in that, but I also do believe that energies can use instruments like a radio to try and communicate. And I say that only because I've heard voices without a spirit box right in front of my face, mm-hmm. and nobody's standing there. I've heard voices playing back audio that was recorded, voices that I had not heard, but when I play the audio back, it's there. So I think there is some manipulation that can be done. But, you know, certainly maybe in some weird way, shape, or form, the universe did line it up. So I heard that, that specific thing say, I'm in the basement on that given day.
Here's another thought.
Okay.
What if on the other side, you're stuck in a radio studio and the CD players don't work and you're just trying to get on the air and it's dead air and nothing's working right. And all you're trying to do is just get through to somebody on these radio signals. So it's essentially like the nightmare that radio people have of being in the studio. Nothing's working quite right. You're just trying to get something on the air and you're stuck like that in all of eternity.
It's so funny because every time I talk with an old radio friend, I will always ask, do you get the dream? And everybody has the dream, whether they're in TV or in radio.
Once a week, at least.
They have the dream, yes.
At least once a week. I'm in one of my former radio stations or whatever my mind is conjuring up as being one of the former radio stations. And things are, it's chaos. And it's like, oh my, because it was such a... I guess it was traumatic. As weird as that sounds to be like the CD player's not working or it's dead air. I mean, those were kind of traumatic moments sometimes because it's like, this is your radio station. This is your job. And if it's off the air and it's on your responsibility and it's not because something that went on that was beyond your control, that can be pretty scary. And I guess somewhat traumatic in a way.
I think that was probably the most anxiety we had on any given day, right? That the equipment wasn't going to work or that we would have to somehow have to fill because we didn't have the programming set.
Yeah.
That was probably the most stress that we actually had to deal with in radio.
I think up to that point in life, it was. I think today, if I was back in that situation, I wouldn't be as anxious about it. I'd be like, oh, whatever, you know, we'll figure this out. But it was like just pure panic. And what was the longest you ever were off the air and it wasn't like the transmitter went out? It was something that you missed. You were like in the other room or doing something.
I only remember very short periods of time, like maybe 10 seconds where a CD ran out because I was talking to somebody on the phone.
Yeah.
And I had to quick get the next CD and pop it in. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That was probably the worst for me. I think one time I went to the bathroom and got locked out and I was probably off for about 30 seconds.
Really? Where was this? Green Bay?
It was WIXX.
Yeah, my worst one was in that building too. It was the weekend. I went to the bathroom. I think was on a different floor, wasn't it?
You had to go up a floor.
You had to go up a floor, and it was on the opposite side of the building. And there's a vending machine over there too. And I remember, I think I was doing it overnight, and thank God it was overnight because I never got caught for it, and nobody knew. But I remember being up there and I forgot what I want to say. It was like live lightning crashes or something. It wasn't like a crazy long song, but it wasn't a crazy short song.
Yeah.
And I went to the bathroom, came back within the time limit. But the CD player screwed up like it clunked out like right away. And I didn't even realize it. Because I was out of the studio. So like probably within the first 30 seconds of the song, I hit it and I started running and I came back and it was like out for like 3 minutes or so.
Dang.
But again, it was like 3 a.m. So whoever was up, you know, called and told me that. But it was a little bit of time. And I was like, oh, my God, I hope nobody finds that. And nobody ever did. But now you all know. So if anyone wants to call up Dan Stone, who was the program director in 1998,
you might want to. Tony, it's Stan the Man Stone. Hey, I just found out you had some dead air about 40 years ago.
Hey, Tony, Dan the Man, I heard it's dead air back in 98. Why didn't you tell me about that? We should have addressed that. Well, okay. That's just strike one. Like, I don't work there anymore, Dan. I haven't worked there in like 20. So strike one, okay? Don't let it, no more, and no more of them phone calls, like, either. Though, you know, it's getting a little too silly. I got told I couldn't do that either, and I kind of kept doing them. But, but anyway. But I liked Dan. I was always good with him. That was scary. That was a scary time. I'd rather have seen a ghost in the building than had that actually happen to me.
Right.
In truth. All right, that's going to wrap up this edition of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want access to our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more, check it out at ghostpodcast.com, patreon.com/realghoststories, or on Apple Podcasts on our premium channel right there. Until next time, for Todd and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.